Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickman.
Good afternoon, and I hope you're having a fantastic Saturday. It's one of those things, I want to talk about today, and I think it's just very interesting. You know, why is it so tough to find a good contractor? You know, I've remodeled my house, some of my house. We're trying to do some more. And why is it so tough to find that good contractor? And so I've done some research on it. And to begin, you know, contractors are not generally, this is what I found, they're not generally good business owners. Some are, but most of them are not. They're not good business owners generally. And just because someone can bake doesn't mean they can, you know, can run a bakery. And the same can be said about contractors. Just because someone can swing a hammer doesn't mean they can answer phone calls or show up on time, or return calls, or just, you know, have any follow-up skills whatsoever. They may be great at doing the work, but they don't have the skills they can't do any follow-up. They don't follow up. They don't get back with you. Secondly, contractors don't always have to be, they don't always have to be good. A lot of times they just have to be quick or cheap to meet certain needs. Real estate investors and homeowners are always looking for a good deal. And this means they don't typically call the best people for the job because they know they'll be too expensive, too big for small maintenance jobs, and will be booked out 3 months. So, you know, to get the best, sometimes you got to pay more and you have to wait. But none of this means that you have to settle for a contractor that doesn't fit your needs. Given some time and research, you can figure out how to find a contractor that can be great, you know, that can get the job done properly. You can be happy with it, can, you know, somebody that you can really, really appreciate. Despite what you've read, there are great contractors out there, but finding them and the ones that are best for you can take a little time. Here are the best tips that I have to help find good contractors and narrow down that list. And it is, I can tell you, it's extremely important. We did basically most of our downstairs last year. Redid the kitchen after 30 years of the same kitchen that we had lived in the house. It probably was 40 or 50 years old, so it needed it. And it was, I didn't do the work myself, but I didn't hire a general contractor, and I hired individual contractors. And I will tell you, I highly recommend that you find a general contractor, a good solid general contractor. And that's kind of, you know, you can do it. This works both ways. And we actually had a very good contractor working on putting the kitchen in and all of that. It's just that they didn't manage the entire project. And I think that helps a lot to have somebody who actually knows what they're doing and is doing it full time, manage the project. But how do you find a good contractor? Number one, be proactive, not reactive. Have you ever heard the old phrase, the best time to look for a job is when you don't need one? The same principle applies to contractors. If you're only looking for one when you need one, you're setting yourself up for problems from the start. Instead, be proactive, using a continually involved list of people that you can call for various problems, and continue to add people to that list even when you don't need somebody at the moment. That can be extremely helpful. I can tell you that that's what I've done to a point. I think sometimes, you know, I try to keep a list of people that I've used, or people that I've, you know, that I know customers have used, friends have used. I try to keep track of that so that I can always have somebody, you know, to do a lot of the small maintenance items. Like, we have a great plumber because of referral. We have a great home or HVAC company because of referral. And those I've stayed with as long as I possibly can. The HVAC company I've probably been with 12, 15 years, and they're just very, very good. They suit my needs perfectly. They come to my area. They're quick. They call back. So it's really important to find somebody, you know, who fits those needs. I tend to be a person because for me, it's extremely important for me to call a customer back. If they call me, I need to call them back. If they email me, I need to email them back. If I don't call somebody back, generally within a few hours, there's something wrong. Sometimes I can't, and I'm saying business hours. Sometimes I can't. Like last November, I was sick as a dog. I couldn't do it. I had to have my team do it. But I try to call everybody. If somebody calls me and it's a call for me, I'm going to call them back, and I'm going to call people back as quickly as I possibly can. It's why I set my team up the way that I did, and that is extremely important to me. I'm trying to hire a company to do something, and it is somewhat frustrating for me because they're not in a hurry to do anything. And I'm in a hurry to do everything. I have a very high sense of urgency. So it's really hard for me when I work with somebody like that. I know I have a high sense of urgency, so I have to slow down, but it does help to have somebody in the same, you know, same time frame. But to me, it's critical. If they won't get back with me, if they can't get back with me, that drives me crazy. I'm proactive, and I've honed a list for myself. And I've tried to add people based on referrals and other, you know, looking up online, things like that. I always trying to add, and I talk to people because I need them, but I also need them as referrals for others because I work with a lot of people who want to do things to their house. So that's the first one. Be proactive, not reactive. Get a list together. Continually add to that list as you find people who are good, or you're referred, somebody refers you. Somebody that's good, you want to keep track of that, and you want a list where you can get to it, because if you don't keep the list and you don't know where it is, then you can't easily get to those people. And so that's very, very important. Number two, understanding price versus cost. And this is very dear to my heart. I went from being a price to a cost person. These two terms may sound the same, but there's a key difference when it comes to hiring anyone or making investments in your business. Price is the monetary amount paid when you purchase something, but cost is a long-term monetary amount paid over the life of the purchase or service, of the product or service, sorry. For example, the price of a dishwasher, it might be $400, and the price of a dishwasher B, that was dishwasher A might be $400, dishwasher B might be $500. The first option was a lower price, but it requires an extra $20 per month in energy bills that the second option doesn't have. It's not, and obviously this is an obvious, it's not really saving you anything in the long run. You see, buying for cost rather than price is a subtle difference, but it can have a huge effect on your house, on what you're doing, on the work that you're doing. The principle also applies to hiring on a business, and it does apply for hiring a contractor. I have found it's probably one of the most important things. As you're looking at getting something done, and this is not just in the contractor, but let's say you're going to get work, you're going to have a new kitchen put in, and you have a sink A and sink B, and sink A is a pretty traditional sink and you like it, it's okay, and it's $500. And sink B is $2,000, but you love it, it's exactly what you wanted. Now, there was a time I would have done B because I can live with that one. But now I have found it's not just the monetary cost. It matters how much you like it, and it matters how much it means. And what I also have found is an appraiser is going to appraise or generally will appraise a house for a higher dollar amount when they like it, when it has higher dollar products in it. They can tell the difference between a $500 sink and a $2,000 sink generally. And so it's usually, may not get all of it, but you will definitely get more than you paid in enjoyment if you buy the one that you really like, that you fall in love with, that's exactly what you want. So it is extremely, in my opinion, very important to get that, you know, to not concentrate so much on cost or price, but look at the true cost. How much is it, you know, and not just that, but the value of the product to you over time. And if you're going to, you think about it, for $500, you know, for me in this case, $500, you know, to $1,500, it's another $1,000. But if it's in there 10 years, that's only, what, $100 a year, then they're 20 years, it's only $50 a year. Is it worth $50 a year for a lot more enjoyment? To me, my choice is always that it is, and I found that to work out for most people. After the break, we're going to talk more about, you know, why you can't hire or find a good contractor.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me. I appreciate it very much. We're talking about why is it so tough to find a good contractor. Number one, we said you need to be proactive, not reactive. So you need to keep a list. You need to keep track of people who do work. So when you need the work done, you're not rushing around trying to find somebody. You already have that list. The difference between price and cost. The price may be higher on one than the other, but the cost may actually be lower for the higher price. So you want to look at that. That's important. Number three, you want to ask for referrals. And this is where I normally get, if I don't already have the contractor, most contractors I have, I got from referrals. And most people, you know, I always get referrals. If somebody says they have a great plumber, or they have a great HVAC, or they have a great contractor, or they have a great electrician, you know, I always like those referrals, because if somebody's happy with them, you know, and you know that person, you know, if they're happy with them, you're probably going to be happy with them. Painters the same way. The best painters I've hired have always been referred to me. Sometimes, I've hired painters where, I thought they were going to be good and they just weren't, and they weren't referred, and they just were, you know, they had good ratings, but they weren't very good in reality on painting. Number three, though, we were talking about, ask for referrals. And so just ask for, you know, from anybody you know. If you know somebody's had their house painted and you know them, ask those people, you know, how do they like their painter? If they love their painter, they said they were great, get a referral. If they didn't like their painter, then don't get the referral. You can look at their work, too, and you can see how it is. And you can see if it's somebody who knows what they're doing, they're good at what they're doing, or if they're not. And so you just want to, that referral source is very good. You can also go online. You can go to, I think it's Angie.com now, or homesomething.com, which is part of Angie.com. And then there's another one that they actually will help you get they'll help you with referrals based on the ratings that these people get from people who've used them, who are also on that system. And I have found that to be another good way to get work done. Sometimes, though, you have to be careful. I found that, you know, when you ask for somebody to contact you, about 50% of them do. The rest of them just ignore you, which is, you know, something that we kind of all have gotten used to with contractors. They kind of eliminate themselves because they don't get back. So asking for one person to get back to you, I haven't found to be very successful. But asking for, you know, 4 to 8 of them to get back with you, you tend to get, you know, 2 to 4 people getting back with you, who then you can, you know, help narrow it down. And the ones I've actually talked to and used have always been, you know, good, based off of Angie's List, with good ratings, I can't remember the other, Home Something. And then there's another one I just found that I'm actually using somebody from there. I don't know how good they are yet, but that is another place to get referrals. If you don't have somebody that you know, you don't know who's had work done, that is another place you can get. I don't think it's as good as actually talking to somebody who you know, who can recommend somebody, but it certainly is another spot to get it. The next one, once you get a reference, you want to do your own research. And I think it's one of the keys to getting a good contractor is your own research. So you can Google them, you know, and you look on the internet. You can check it, you know, you can check them out. You can see, you know, what they've done. You can see if, you know, any shady activity. You can see if there's any active disputes. You can see their profile in the Better Business Bureau. Although I'll tell you personally, I haven't found the Better Business Bureau to be that great. I actually was looking at I think it was an insurance company, and the insurance company on the Better Business Bureau had an A+ rating from Better Business Bureau, but their rating from their customers was like 1.2 under 1.75, so not very good, right? So it wasn't a good rating, even though the Better Business Bureau. And the reason is because if you send in something to the Better Business Bureau and you say this is what happened, and the business answers it, then it eliminates it and they keep their A-plus rating. So I'm always very leery of the Better Business Bureau. But look at not just the rating. If you're looking at the Better Business Bureau, look at the rating by the customers to see what it actually is, so that you have a good idea. And I think that helps. I had a customer who they wanted to remodel their house. They had a contractor, and when they did a Google search, this contractor that wanted to come do the work, they found that they had been in the newspaper here in Indianapolis because of one of the news stations because of the scam they were pulling on people. So very, very helpful to eliminate somebody. You may not find good about them, but you finding bad about them is just as helpful, because you're going to eliminate a scam or a ripoff or somebody with a lot of complaints because they don't, it doesn't work the way that you want it. Cause they're not people. You meet with people, we tend to like them, and good scam artists can make us feel like, hey, this is a good person. In reality, they may not be. So we want to make sure that they are. Google is a great place to get that. You can check references, and this is something that is important. I'm always a little leery, although it has surprised me at times when somebody gives me a reference and I call the reference and I talk to them and they give you a bad rating on this customer, on this company, because normally you would expect if somebody's going to give you a referral or a reference, they're not going to talk bad. At least they may not talk great, but they aren't going to talk bad about them. But if they tell you bad things, that's a good sign that you probably don't want to use that contractor. But I also have found people write, and this goes for the last one. When you Google them, you look up the ratings on Google, you look up the ratings on other things. I have found that those rating people, many people will only write anything if they're mad. So they'll give a bad review to somebody or some company. Sometimes though, they're unrealistic, or they don't understand the business. They don't understand what really goes on. So it's not like this person did a poor job, and here's why they did a poor job, and here's what my problem was. But they tell you things that if you know about that, like painting, and they say when I marked, I had my marker marked on the paint, it wouldn't wash off, so it's their fault. Well, we all know that it depends on the type of paint used. They might have picked the wrong paint, whatever. You know that you can't blame that on the contractor. However, if they say, they didn't trim at all, or they said they would fix the drywall, they did no drywall fix, that's telling you that's probably not somebody you want to use. But you want to read. I find that reading them is very helpful, but I also find that you have to be careful, because a lot of people will write things that aren't 100% true, and a lot of people don't actually understand. We think as customers we know. It's kind of like, to me, we think as a sports fan, let's say a basketball fan, that we know more than the coach knows, and we know more than the refs know, and we know more than the players know, because we tell them what to do. We yell in the stands, from the stands, you run the ball, or whatever it is, or that was a foul. And the reality is we don't, and it's the same way here. We don't know as much as most contractors. If you get 100% bad reviews or 90% bad reviews, then I would not look at them. But if you just get a few bad reviews, that's not telling. I disregard those bad reviews because they're probably not accurate. But it's still valuable to check it. And again, you can do that on Google. You can check it on Angie's, on Angie.com, on Yelp. You can look at all those areas to get reviews. Another piece is you want to ask questions, and you want to ask questions to the contractor. So references and recommendations are great. You got to have those so you can find the right contractors, but they aren't specific to you. You need to know that they're right for you. So asking the right questions that are tailored to your needs is a great way to find the right contractor for you. This pre-scanning process will help you weed out ones that you don't like early on, And here are some examples of what you can use. So, one, how long have you been in this line of work? Obviously, that's a good one. You want to get an idea of how much experience they have. Now, maybe it could be somebody who says, well, I've been doing this myself for 30 years on my own home, and you know, and I'm a woodworker, and I worked in a, you know, I worked at a factory doing the maintenance, and you know, that could be. Or it could be somebody who's been doing it for a long time. It doesn't mean that somebody with not a lot of experience can't do the job, but normally you want somebody with a lot of experience or good solid experience that they can do the job. You also want to ask, what skills would you say you are the best at? So what is it that you do the best? And do you like bigger remodel jobs or small repair jobs? So what do you like doing the best? So let's say you're talking to a painter and you say, well, what do you like doing the best? And they say, well, I like rolling the walls. That's what I really like to do. Okay, great. But maybe what you have is a lot of trim work. So you need to find out, you know, how about trim? Are you good at trim? Can you do the trim work? Can you repair drywall? I had a drywaller I talked to. I told him I wanted the drywall corrected. I wanted all this stuff fixed. I wanted everything done. And when they got completed, they didn't fix any of the drywall. So we had to have them fix all that afterwards and repaint and do all that extra time and all that because they didn't fix drywall. So you just want to ask them the question and then hope that they, and if you've asked them the question, they don't do it, you can always go back. It's a lot easier to go back and say, hey, you didn't do this. You told me you would. And they generally will take care of it. And also don't ever pay them until they're done with the job, at least all the money. And then, so again, what skills would you say you're best at? And do you like bigger remodels or remodeling jobs or small repair jobs? What job tasks do you hate doing? This is important. It will give you an idea of what they don't like doing, but they could say something like, well, you know, I don't like to trim, but I have a guy that he's a trim man and that's what he does. And he's a great trim man. And so I don't have to trim because there's things in my job I don't like to do. And what I've done is I've hired people who do a good job at that because I'm not good at it because I don't like doing it. So it can make it worthwhile if you just ask the right questions. In what city do you typically work? So generally you're going to know this, but you want to make sure they're working in the right area. So that's important. How many employees work for you or work in your company if you're not talking to the boss? So that's important too. How many people are there? You know, how big is it? That gives you an idea of the company because you might have to give some money up front. You might not. A bigger company, you tend not to. But if you have to give some money up front, you want to make sure that it's not going to be walking away and you never get your money back and they don't do any work. And how busy are you? That can be a negative and a positive. You want them busy, but you want them to come, you know, be able to get to your house in a timely fashion. Just depends on what your time frame is. But don't, it's just a bad thing. Sometimes you have to, but to sell, to hire an inferior contractor to get it done quickly. Do you pull permits or would I need to do that? It helps if you need permits, you want them to be able to pull the permits. You can do it, but you really want the permits. You don't want somebody who says, let's not worry about permits. If you need them, you need to get the permits. If I were to hire you, this is another good, great question. When could you start knocking out my tasks? Again, you want to know, you want an accurate number or day when they're going to start. And you know, not that it might not move a little bit, but it's one of the things that drives you crazy about contractors. They say, oh, I'm going to be there tomorrow. And then they don't show up and they don't call and they don't tell you. And, you know, you realize they were busy. They never were going to show up that day. They just tell you that because they don't want to tell you how long it's actually going to be. You want to know how long it's actually going to be so you can make the right hiring decision. What payment schedule do you prefer? You know, when will you want the final payment? Very important that a final payment is not made till the work is done, you've inspected it, and you are happy with it. I would never suggest paying them up front for everything. I'd pay as little up front, and most time I find most contractors are okay waiting till the end. Not all of them. Some of them need it up front, and that's okay too, but just don't give them everything because you want to keep them coming back. It's really hard sometimes to get these guys back if they got all their money. All right, number seven is the 6 a.m. Home Depot trick. Go to Home Depot at 6 a.m. and meet the contractors that are there. These are the contractors who get up early and get their supplies before heading over to job sites. This is a strong indicator indication that they know what they are doing and are not going to take advantage of you. Although this is no silver bullet, it can give you an idea of a contractor who take their work seriously and get started early in the day. I know 6 a.m. is early to get to Home Depot, but it is a great way to do it. This will also be a good time for you to talk, to ask the store employees who they would recommend, and see if they have any additional, you know, unique insight into the quality of materials and the contractors use. You know, they're going to know a lot. They're going to know a lot about the contractor because those guys are in there every day. You know, and then you want to just make sure that you know you're comfortable with whoever you hire. It makes a big difference, and it's really important that you're comfortable and that you like them and you can talk with them because you're going to be working with them through this. Now I want to move on to why you'll never find a good contractor. I know that sounds kind of negative. It's not my normal, but the reason there's some basic reasons. Number one is because your expectations are too high. You're expecting your contractor to be perfect at everything, to tick every box, and that's just not possible. But that's also why it's important to have more than one on your list so that you can always have someone for all your needs. So you're not going to have nobody does everything well. So you want to find what they do well. That's what you want to use them for. And a lot of us do. We have way too high expectations. We think they're going to get there tomorrow. We think they're going to get done right away. And we think they're going to do perfect work. And that's just not the case. The key is they do very good work and they'll work with you to fix anything that needs to. Number two, you always take the lowest bid. I would say that's a critical error. Taking the lowest bid is not the best thing. I remember somebody said that you never negotiate a service, you negotiate a product. So if you have a service being done, if you negotiate it, they're just going to cut what they do. So if you can't afford it, just don't do it with that contractor. But you want to find the right contractor. If they're more expensive, it's not all about price. In fact, many times the lower price gets you worse service, and that's not what you want. So try not to do the lowest price. Doesn't mean the lowest price won't be the best, but it's very likely it isn't. You don't understand overhead quotes. The majority of good contractors will never give an itemized quote, especially because the vast majority of people don't understand business basics, such as overhead expense. Also, there is a massive falsehood that says a fair contractor markup is 15 to 20%. That's not true. Every contractor inevitably underbids one part of the project and overbids on another. There are just too many unknowns and variables to account for when bidding. The result in the entire project getting underbid and the contractor is guaranteed to lose money. You don't want that. You want your contractor, he needs to make money. You want to help. You want to make sure you pay a fair price, but fair, and that they're being treated fairly. I believe that, and I want a good contractor. And if they come back, when you're remodeling, doing things like that, there's always going to be issues that they didn't foresee, and they're going to cost you more money. Your goals don't align. If your goals don't align with your contractor, not a good fit. I hope you enjoyed this today. If you have any questions on mortgages, you want to talk to me, or you have any contractors you want to recommend, or you need a recommendation, you can go to my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And you can follow up with me there, my phone numbers, my email. You can contact me direct from the website. I'll do my best to get back with you in a timely fashion. I appreciate you joining me. I hope you have a great weekend.